This message comes from NPR sponsor, Mattress Firm. Sleep hot. Mattress Firm's sleep experts can match you with a cooling mattress from the Tempur-Breeze collection from Tempur-Pedic, so you can experience measurably cooler sleep all night. Get matched at Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. Sleep at night.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday from NPR Music. I'm Robin Hilton, and we are gathered here today to share and talk about the best new albums out now on June 16th. I'm here with WBEZ and Vocalo Radio's Ayana Contreras.
Hey, what's going on?
NPR Music's Lars Gotrich.
Hey, y'all.
And Sheldon Pierce.
Hello.
So, New Music Friday, the day of the week when most new EPs and albums come out. We go through a ton of releases, put our heads together, and pick the ones we're all excited about. This week, that includes new ones from Killer Mike, Sigur Rós, Asake, and more. But we start with the legendary singer Betty LaVette. Her new album out today is called simply LaVette. This is the song Mess About It.
I came back from New York City. Everything had changed. There was something different about the way everything looked. I've been seeing little pictures running through my brain. When I used to run around on the North End,
you know, one of the reasons why I brought this up is I feel really great that Betty LaVette is in the conversation these days and has been in the conversation for 20 years now. I say 20 years because her quote-unquote resurgence was really a blossoming of her career that rarely happens with such soul artists. She's very unique in that she started recording when she was 16 years old back in the 1960s and consistently recorded, but it took nearly 20 years for her debut album to come out. And it took an additional nearly 20 years for people to, quote unquote, rediscover her, release some previously unreleased material, and, you know, she becomes a star in a whole nother way. And this album, to me, is proof positive that she's still got that energy, that joie de vivre, and has something amazing to say. I mean, there's a lot of artists that have come out in the years post the classic soul era that have tried to capture that feeling. But for her, it's not something to capture. It is her. And at 77, the fact that she is still offering that really unique sort of emotive feeling that is present on her 1960s recordings and her 1970s recordings, I think is a blessing to us all.
A brain that hardly functions. What makes me act so strange? I'm just another life form that ain't never gonna change. I was walking in the dark, going by the plan, dreaming about my baby.
Yeah, these are songs written by Randall Bramblett, but she seems to have a real connection to them. She told American Songwriter that the lyrics are pretty much what she means. Sometimes I think she can make gibberish feel soulful, but she really does embody this material. She all but incinerates every single song she performs, leaving no interpretation but her own. She can change the dimensions of a familiar song, but like with this self-title feels important here. She's got it, and she's making the most of her moment. It really does tell the story of how there are so many paths to reach where you're supposed to be, because this is it for her.
You know, when I was listening to this record, I was like, man, this sounds like classic BJ Records size. Like, this was a label that put out Memphis Slim, John Lee Hooker, and the Spaniels. And then I couldn't help but notice the name of her new label is JB Records. And I was like, that can't be coincidence. I really dug this record.
Worn out frazzled, it's taking too long. Same old words, the same old song. I'm looking for a friend who used to live up here. I can still hear her voice even though she's disappeared. I'm dangling by a string, mumbling a prayer. My mojo's busted and I ain't got a spare. I might be crazy, but at least I'm free. But I ain't worried about it.
As a person from Chicago, and VJ is from Chicago, I don't know that I would say it sounds like VJ, but I do think that the musicians did a great job of honoring traditional soul sounds, for sure, 100%.
There's so many moments. I kind of laughed out loud at a number of lyrical moments in this whole album, because there's so many great lines, but she has this great closing line on this song, Plan B.
And I don't need.
When she says, hell, I'm still working on plan A.
Which is so true for her life, right? She really, that's what it is.
All right, again, that's Betty LaVette. Her album is called LaVette, and that's with an exclamation point. Don't you forget it. It's out now on June 16th, along with a new solo album from Killer Mike, his first in more than a decade. It's called Michael. This is the song 2 Days.
It is evident, I do better when I feel like the world against me and think I should never win. Can I stop it? Pocket profit every time I push a pin, but I do not push a pin. Fuck a pin and the pin that imprison all my kin and my partners and my friends. Fuck the politicians that sponsor the prisons that they in. I got partners coming home from rocking 20 in the pen, trying to make amends with baby mamas, get to know they kids. And they cannot sell no marijuana, law won't let them in. Man, them crackers let a nigga out, but will not let us in. It is evident, I do better when I feel like the world against me and think I should never win. Can I stop it? Pocket profit every time I push a pin, but I do not push a pin. Fuck a pin and the pin that imprison all my kin and my partners and my friends. Fuck the politicians that sponsor the prisons that they in. That include the past, the former, current, and ex-president. You can quote it like I wrote it, signature by Michael Wynn. Swear to God that I go hard and that's as hard as MC Ren. I don't need a reverend, I will not show reverend.
Yeah. A mononymously titled album normally signals a very serious personal offering in rap. We've already had a few this year. Macklemore's Ben, Jack Harlow's Jackman. Killer Mike's Michael holds to the pattern. His first solo album in nearly a decade tries to reorient him, returning him to his Atlanta roots. He reunites with Outkast, Andre 3000, Tags, Future, Young Thug, 2 Chainz, even CeeLo Green and D4L's Fabo. He returns to the trap as a place, thinking about his relationship to it and the people affected by it. There's a lot of Hammond organ, church fills, sounds of the Southern church. He remembers dropping his babies at the church nursery, and he has an altar to his grandmother where he asks her to pray for his generation.
My mama did, my grandmama did. I miss him so much, sometimes I just cry and hold my head. They left the world a man like me and make sure I'm prepared to live a life to make sure my wife ain't gonna beg for bread. I got an altar in my home to honor both of them. Just this morning I was smoking, spoke to both of them. I asked Betty for her prayers over my generation, and I asked Nisa to keep me through my trials and tribulations.
He has always performed as if from a pulpit with a pastor's enthusiasm and rhetoric, but here he is as close to reverie as he's ever been, as he works through some of the most intimate stories of his career on this record.
One of the things that I found really satisfying about Michael is Down by Law, the opening track. Killer Mike is on his pulpit. He's being his complicated ass self. and then he starts to take us to church.
Born in the womb of a beautiful teen. I am a beautiful, wonderful thing. I am a king. My woman's a queen. Master of the heart, that we are the God. I study hard like John Henry Clark. Even in my days of whipping the heart, I tell the devil the black man is God. Keeping the players is playing my part.
I remember thinking, you know, he'll be good right here. CeeLo would be really good right here. And lo and behold, CeeLo enters the frame. Won't you help us so hard? There are lots of moments like that when these characters from his life, both old and new, come into these songs. They really seem to be serving the songs themselves. And so when you get CeeLo Green, it's like that's a moment that feels crucial and necessary to that moment instead of just something that's expected. Or Andre 3000, his verse on Scientists and Engineers is just like real masterclass stuff. Operator, operator, I would pray that you connect me to a sip of sangria, Zambia, camera, cameo, hand me a handful of hips. A stamina, stampede of happily happenings, dabbling into a blip. The neon, beyond the ambience, be honest, you promise that you will live. Do summers ever forget? Put your muscle like a kid. Cucumber will make a trip. And again, does the thing where it's, there's some like weird synth squiggles like happening. And I remember thinking, you know what would be good here? Andre 3000, he could do some really weird stuff on top of these synth squiggles, and there he is.
So you're saying you could have produced this album?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, speaking of the production, I think the production does a really great job of sort of rooting the music in sort of a narrative that's bigger than our generation. Like the use of samples in particular, like that song Down by Law has a sample. It's not gospel. It's We the People Who Are Darker Than Blue by Curtis Mayfield, which is a very epic, anthemic song. And in the same sense, I think Michael opens up with this Down by Law because he's trying to set up this sort of epic tale of being Black in Atlanta, which at this point is sort of the red hot center of Black culture in America. And these are all of the players in this game. And I really love the balance of sort of hood philosophy and sort of prescriptive political commentary, which is what he does a lot in social media. But in this construct, I hear somebody playing this in the back of like a big body car, like a candy colored Caprice Classic or something like that, and really being enriched. Like, I think that's the audience that he's really trying to go for, trying to, you know, really speak to the people.
Yeah, so many just like life lessons and wisdom that he shares across the whole album, like on the song Something for Junkies. And you hear that clip of Farrakhan saying, you know, when you see men fall, don't laugh, learn. Learn. Because you're on your way up. And the things that tempt people to fall, you and I are not free from that temptation. Nor from the weakness that will cause us to stumble and fall. When you laugh at somebody else's fault, white or black, rich or poor, your enemy or your friend, you're laughing and opening a way for your own demise when you do that.
Because this album feels more personal, I think much more community oriented and thinking about people on the ground level, people who are living this struggle and affected by it.
All right, Killer Mike, his first solo album in more than a decade is called Michael. That's out now on June 16th. Another one out today that we're loving is from the band Sigur Rós. They're also back after a long break between albums. Their new one is called Auta. That's A-T-T-A, Auta. This is the song Klettur.
This album was announced just Thursday. And there is actually an interview in your feed right now with Bob Boylan with Yonzi about this album. So you can listen to that too. And, you know, I haven't listened to Sigur Rós in probably 15, 20 years, personally. Like, I discovered them in high school in the 90s with Aujeta Zbirian, the one with the alien angel fetus
right
on the cover. Then the other album, which is just in parentheses.
Bracket album.
Yeah, this album kind of takes me back to those earlier sounds. The thing that you get with those early albums is just like this beautiful underwater ballet of sound, a mixed somewhere in the regions of like post rock and classical music and ambient music without being any of them. And the thing that I found sort of masterful about this record is the tension. Like, there's a moment at the end of Skell, the last minute of Skell, pivots to this very discordant drone. And you find yourself in a moment of uncertainty. Because the thing that I think people have always responded to with Sigur Rós is that you can feel safe in its music because it's pretty. But here is a moment of uncertainty and discordance. And the lyrics provide some, they provided some translations. Like, they're thinking about death in ways that I find that return us to Earth. And that's what this music feels like.
Yeah, the album has the sort of scale, but also granularity of like Terrence Malick's 2011 film, The Tree of Life. It is omnipresent and singular at all at once, sort of sweeping and intimate. I think about More, which might be my favorite song on the album, has this sort of tragic beauty. The melancholy cellos sort of subside to lead only that like spectral choir of voices. I mean, I found so much of this record moving.
Well, I think the thing that's interesting is, to me, this music, it is calming music, but it's not that it's just pretty and calming music that helps you chill out. I think it's a lot more than that. And Lars, I had a similar reaction that you had, which is it also took me back to those early records. And I think it's interesting. I have one idea of maybe what's happening. The breakthrough record for them was the bracket one, the parentheses record, and that came out in 2002. And it felt so right for the moment. It was the early Bush years. We were fresh off 9/11, the anthrax attacks, the DC sniper. I mean, it was just, it felt like the world was coming apart. And the album that they put out in 2002 felt like the perfect answer to it, to all the horrors and the chaos. And this one feels right and necessary in the current moment as well. But it's not, again, like I said, just that it's calming music. It's like they're capturing the current moment and reprogramming it in a way. It's like, you know, it's like they've taken the Terminator. They've taken control of the Terminator and they cracked it open and swapped out the motherboard and they've recoded it for good. I don't know if that makes sense, but it feels like that's part of what's happening in this music for me. Really, really gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. I feel like this record is a triumph for them. Sigur Rós back with their first new album in a decade. It's called Auta. That's out now on June 16th, along with several other releases we want to highlight for you this week. But first, we need to take a short break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
The NPR app cuts through the noise, bringing you local, national, and global coverage. No paywalls, no profits, no nonsense. Download it in your app store today.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
It's New Music Friday from NPR. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Ayanna Contreras, Lars Gottridge, and Sheldon Pierce. And we're doing a quick rundown of the best albums out now on June 16th. We start the second half of the show off with a big one from the Nigerian artist Asake. It's called Work of Art. This is the song 230.
Awade, awade, de. Awa lomo ton so ti o seke, yeah. Odi molade be mi de be. Jigan, jigan, ese mi o de le, de le. Ala ye mi stop she be. O fe jembi, o tu fe jembe, o pose. Agba o fe lufo fe, so se mi. Amora wa shoke. Ability, at us ability. Eso fun moto baterisi. Mama kwa lori, tenu koi mi promisi. I want a fofun, fofun. Tori ko selu mi. Many, many, better be mi eri bi. Ekola nun to.
The pop music of West Africa is seemingly at an inflection point. Burna Boy, he broke down the wall for a lot of people. I mean, we talked about Amare last week. And Asake is among the fastest rising stars in a new wave of Afropop stars. I think it's interesting that he's here already. The men who have normally distanced themselves from the pack in modern Afropop have been the sweet-voiced lover boys. Obviously, Wizkid and Davido and the next generation of guys like Fireboy DML and Rema. Asake is not that. He has a much grittier voice, and he is a hustler, a striver, a street pop trailblazer basking in his rapid ascension. His sound, especially on this new album, Work of Art, is best described as a sort of gangsta gospel. He often softens his singing with a choir. You can hear it on songs like Awudi, I Believe, and Lonely at the Top. This album in particular is sort of sun-kissed and self-affirming, channeling its chorale music into something that is like shiny and elevated.
You know, I definitely agree with Sheldon that Afrobeats is having a moment. The other day, I was watching Happy Music on TikTok. He's a producer, and he did a remix of September by Earth, Wind & Fire, but made it Afrobeats. Highly recommended. But in terms of this record, I think I also agree very much with Sheldon that this is almost like the Urbano version of Afrobeats. Like, because Afrobeats in general, yes, sometimes they do get a little like saucy, lyrically speaking. But in terms of softness, it definitely is sort of made for the ladies. It reminds me of the old adage for DJs that says that as long as you keep the ladies happy, you keep the party going.
I'm just making a note of that. Ayanna, thanks for that.
It's true.
Cute.
It's true.
Happy. Got it.
But I think in this case, he's speaking to everybody, and I think everyone is listening to what he has to say.
Can I ask a potentially dumb question? When did Afrobeats become the term? Because I remember when I first heard the term, it's like, this doesn't sound like Fela Kuti.
Well, that's Afrobeat.
I know. And that's so I got confused when I first started hearing this music a few years ago.
Yeah, well, within the community in West Africa, there is a lot of debate about whether that catch-all term even works for them. Hmm. People started using it mostly in the late 2000s, and it has come to be defined specifically as the stuff that Davido is doing, but Amare recently denounced it, and she's likes to call her stuff Afropop specifically. Burna Boy has talked about his stuff being Afrofusion. Asha K, I don't think he would even consider his stuff in the same realm as Afrobeats, even though it does sort of descend directly from that stuff. Asha K is considered sort of like the torchbearer for a small scene called street pop, and that stuff is very clearly pulling from American rap in a way that Afrobeats proper isn't even doing. Afrobeats proper is more thinking about like early to mid 2000s rap as a base, all the way up through like T-Pain, which is why you hear some of the like intense auto-tune in it. His stuff is less derived from that stuff, thinking more specifically about rap at its core. And as a result, that's why you get more of an edge to his stuff.
But still a lot of undeniable beauty, I 100%, think, in these songs. You know, like you use the word sun-kissed for so much of this music. And I just kept thinking like, wow, the sun is always rising in these songs, right? It is always a new dawn. All right, again, that's Asha K. His new album is called Work of Art. There's also a new album out today that we're loving from the singer Michelle Andeguocello. It's her first new album since signing with Blue Note Records. It's called The Omnicord Real Book. This is the opening cut, Georgia Avenue.
So there's a couple of interesting things that were muses for this particular album, one of which was the passing of Michelle's parents. Her father actually gave her a real book. And a real book, this is an interesting thing if you don't play instruments or you're not sort of in that world. It's different from a fake book, but it's technically a way in which a lot of jazz musicians get into learning the basic written versions of songs. It's sort of a shared language of how to understand standards, right? But the other thing that's inspiring the title is an omnicord, which is a real 80s bizarre instrument by the Suzuki Company from about 1981, which Michelle uses to interesting effect on songs, including this song, Georgia Avenue. One thing about Michelle that I love is that no matter what, you will feel let into a very, very rarefied space.
I mean, that's kind of the thing about this record. It's a long record, 18 tracks, but it's the kind of thing where you dip into it wherever you want and you kind of get lost throughout it. I think it's an hour and almost 20 minutes. It's pretty close. And the thing that kind of struck me is that she is both timeless and timely, because you get the sense that she is engaging with what is happening in both pop music and in more like independent circles. Like the song Good Good.
Feeling so good, good. What you gonna do with me? I know how to go. I know how to flow. What's that? Good, good. Who's that? Hey, hey. I know what you see. I know what you need. Drop that attitude. Get in that gratitude. Big butt, that's for you. Hang it up. Thank you.
This could be on a like young, hot R&B singer's debut album. It sounds like Michelle, but it doesn't sound like she's trying to be like a seasoned veteran to make something young and hip. It just sounds like Michelle. And there are tons of moments like that on this record.
Yeah, right. She has said that this album is about seeing old things in new ways. And it really does feel as if she has taken the influence. You know, she found the first real book that her father gave her. And she has never been one to strictly adhere to what is noted at any point in her career. She's been a style bender from the very beginning. And so it is interesting that she is thinking about creating almost a new set of standards. I mean, you get all kinds of branches from this like sonic universe that she has existed in throughout, like the blaxploitation soul of Clearwater, the spacely funk of Virgo. There's even like a groovy sort of like Afrobeat-esque jam in Vuma. She is constantly pushing her music in so many directions.
So much of this record felt like a meditation to me. You know, especially lyrically, she will pick a line and sort of repeat it over and over again. You know, like you take a song called Call to Tune when she says, everything is under control.
Everything is under control. Everything is under control.
And she just keeps saying that over and over again. I don't know, put me in a good space. Michelle Ndegyo-Cheller, her debut for the Blue Note label is called The Omnicord Real Book. As we speed walk our way through 2023, we continue to get way more new music that's worth talking about than we could ever fit in a single show. You'll find a complete list with a whole bunch of other noteworthy releases out today in the description of this episode. But before we go, let's take a minute to quickly share a few more of our favorites out today. Lars, can you be nice?
Can I be nice?
Yeah. All right. All right, Lars, I'm going to give you the distinct honor of going first with one I know you're very excited about.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin. I appreciate it. My pick for the lightning round is the debut self-titled album by Memorage.
Why are you making me play this on my show, Lars?
Memorage is the project of Gary Brentz. He's an extremely prolific metal musician, and he fell back in love with his first love, and that was nu metal. The super macho, very angsty, much critically maligned genre. But the thing that I have found extremely satisfying about Memorage is that the hooks are plenty, and he kind of filters it through a bit of a modern lens with more of his interest in bands like Converge and Godflesh and offering kind of like a slightly different take on this sound.
Ayana, palette cleanser?
Yes. So Ambre has released an album called Who's Loving You?
Can I roll you while you live in large? In and out the back of foreign cars. Think it's obvious, girl, who you fall. I was on a mission, you were lost. A spiteful thing. And I know she got one sentence. Still at all, throughout the whole week.
A lot of folks who are in R&B right now are most familiar with Ambre because of the song I'm Baby featuring Jack James, which is doing really well. But Ambre has done a lot of really cool recordings featuring on hip-hop records, featuring on dance records with Keys and Crates, just a real variety of things. This one is fully Ambre, and the New Orleans artist is really providing something really special.
Sheldon.
Yeah, my lightning round pick is Wild Up's Julius Eastman Volume 3, If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich?
One, two, three, four.
the anthology Engaging with the History and Legacy of the Composer, Pianist, and Vocalist Julius Eastman continues, with Wilda being joined by two modern artists, Dev Hynes and Adam Tendler. It is the continued celebration and embrace of a complex body of work.
Okay, and I'll shout out the new Hand Habits EP that's out today. It's called Sugar the Bruise. This is the music of Meg Duffy. Just six tracks, but there is so much to feast on. Sometimes it's really raw and gritty, and other times really strange and surreal, but also very quirky and idiosyncratic and playful. There's rock and jazz and dance pop. It's kind of all over the place, but in really wonderful ways. It's a collection of songs that, sort of like the Sigur Rós record, reflect on the fact that we are very small and life is very short. And everything is very temporary and fleeting, and I absolutely love that. Hand Habits, the EP again, is called Sugar the Bruise. And that'll do it for this week's New Music Friday. My thanks to Ayana Contreras, Lars Gottridge, and Sheldon Pierce. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, as I mentioned, you'll see a list of everything that we talked about and played, along with a bunch of other releases out today, in the description of this episode. And if you want to hear the songs by themselves, you'll find them in our New Music Friday playlists in Apple Music and Spotify. We've also added a whole bunch of singles there that came out this week, so you can listen to those as well. And remember to sign up for our newsletter to keep up with the latest from NPR Music. You'll find it at npr.org/music newsletter. That's all one word, npr.org/music newsletter. And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. I hope you have a great weekend. Be well, and treat yourself to lots of music.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.